How's everybody doing this morning? Praise God. You're doing better because you're in God's house. I mean, you know, there's a lot of places you could be today that would add no value to your life. But do you know that this is not wasted time? This is invested time that will bring a return in your life. And it's good to see you this morning, and I want to do my introduction and do all of that, but I just felt like the Lord spoke something into my spirit, and I'm just going to say it. It don't fit where I'm at right now, but I just want you to know, God says it is a winnable battle. God says to you today, it is a winnable battle. Listen, if you're taking notes, if you don't write down anything else, I got some stuff I got right here, but what God says is to you, it is a winnable battle. The devil would like to make you think that it's always going to be the same. This is the way it's always been in my family. This is always the way it's been between me and my spouse. But God wants you to know today, prophetically, he says to you, it is a winnable battle. And the scripture says, take courage. It says, take courage. What are you taking today? The doctor gives you a prescription. Take three of these a day, right? You still got to go to the bottle and you got to open it up and you got to take the medication. The scripture says we got to take courage. You can take fear and you can take doubt and you can take unbelief. But we got to reject those things this morning and we got to take courage. Because God says that this thing is winnable in Jesus' name. God wants to birth some hope in us this morning that things aren't going to stay the way that they are, nor are they going to back up. But God wants to bring victory into our situation and into our lives. Can you say amen? How many of you want to have victory in Jesus' name? I got some things I'm believing God for. I got some things that I need to know that they're winnable. I got some things that I need to know that they are winnable. And in Christ, how many of you know we always have the victory if we will take courage? Amen? Amen. Well, this morning we're going to kind of continue in the same vein where Pastor Jerry and Elaine have had us for several weeks now. And that is talking about the supernatural life. The supernatural life. Aren't you glad that we're involved in something with God that's more than ritual and religion? And that we're not a part of something that man has built, but we're a part of something that God has built. And that we're in relationship with a living God, a God who spoke words and the entire world came into existence. He's that big. But he says, there's not a hair on your head this morning that's not numbered. He said he loves us that much that he sent his son to die for you and for me. And so we serve a living God. Lord, guys, this thing is supernatural. This thing is beyond what we can hear, see, smell, touch, and taste. And we want to live a supernatural life. Can you say amen to that? But in that vein for the month of February, because this is the month where you, everywhere you go, you see balloons and you see flowers and you see cards and you see pink and you see red, right? This is, here's a news flash for all the men in the house. Next weekend is Valentine's Day. So don't wait till next weekend because there's usually not much left at that point in time. This is the time of the year where everybody's thinking about relationship and we see cards about love and balloons about love and all that. But what we want to talk about this month, Pastor Jerry and Pastor Lane's asking, what we're going to concentrate on this month is how to have a supernatural family, supernatural relationships. God has given us instruction and he's given us direction for every arena of our life. And that definitely includes family. And that definitely includes marriage. And that definitely includes raising our children. And so we're going to be focused on that this month as we pursue God's best for us in our lives. Now, two things I want to say at the outset, and that's this, if you're in here today. Number one is, it doesn't matter if you're a family of one or you're a family of ten. The principles of God's word apply over your house. They apply over your house. So don't listen to the voice of the enemy that says, oh, he's just talking to the couples and he's just talking to the families. Families of one or families of ten, these principles work for you. And then the second thing is this. Everybody say, I'm on a journey. I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm sure not where I was. And that's this. Don't listen to the voice of condemnation. Don't listen to the voice of condemnation that if I should have done it better, and if I'd have just done it this way, and if I'd have done this then, then I'd be here or there. We're not about that. We're on a journey. And today is the day of our salvation. Today is the day we take the truth of God and we apply it in our lives and we pick up and we go from where we are. So we're not listening to the enemy today. How many are you going to open your hearts and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Praise God. As we talk about the fight for our families. The fight for our families. How many of you know that families are engaged in a fight? Some of your families might have been engaged in a fight before you came this morning. I'm not talking about just a natural fight. I'm talking about a supernatural fight. The family is under an all-out assault from the kingdom of darkness. Because the kingdom of darkness wants to destroy the family. And he will do whatever he can to steal and to kill and to destroy marriages and children and homes and destiny, to take peace out of our homes and unity out of our homes and joy out of our homes. And you may be sitting here thinking today, well, doesn't God want us to have good marriages? And doesn't God want us to have good children and good families? Sure he does. But just as much as God wants us to have all those things, we have an enemy that doesn't want us to have those things. We have to know that the plans and the purposes and the intentions and the will of God for our lives and our marriages and our children and our homes, as good as they may be, they are not inevitable. They are not a given. They are things that have to be contended for. Everybody say they have to be fought for. They have to be believed for. They have to be warred for. They don't just pop up. Does anybody ever have rose bushes just pop up in your yard? Or do you have to be intentional about raising them up? You have to till the ground. You have to plant the seed. You have to nurture the seed. You have to water it. You have to keep the predators off. Out at my house, we got to keep the deer away. We got to keep the coons away if we're going to grow anything. And how many of you know it's no different in our life? Anything that's of value has to be fought for. If we're going to have a godly marriage, if we're going to have a godly home, if we're going to have godly children and grandchildren, if we're going to pass on freedom to the next generation, how many of you know it's going to take a fight? It's going to take a fight. And as long as we put our head in the sand and just wish things would get better, how many of you know they're only going to get worse? God has given us instruction, and he's empowered us, and he's anointed us, and he's placed everything within our reach so that we can grab hold of it and so that we can fight back the powers of darkness and we can see God's plan come to pass in our lives. Jesus said that when we pray, we're supposed to pray, kingdom of God come and will of God be done, where on earth as it is in heaven. God is looking for some fathers, and he's looking for some mothers, and he's looking for some parents, and he's looking for some grandparents, and he's looking for some aunts, and he's looking for some uncles who would be willing to be a conduit for the will of God and for the kingdom of God to make it out of heaven and into your family structure. We've got to contend for the will of God if it's going to come to pass. Ephesians 6:12 in the Message Bible says this. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is a for keeps, a life or death fight to the finished against the devil and all of his angels. That's the fight that we're engaged in this morning. That's the fight that God says is a winnable fight. That's the fight that God says is a winnable fight. As I look out across this congregation this morning, as I look at every individual, as I look at every couple, as I look at every family unit represented in this room, as sure as I see you, I also see that we have an enemy who has a strategy and who has a plan and who has unleashed specific spirits against you and against your lineage to keep you from entering into the fullness of what God had planned for you before he ever formed you in the womb. But God says that we don't have to bend our knee to the enemy. That we can rise up and that we can fight. And that we can win this battle so that we can see God's will come to pass in our life. We're engaged with spirits of darkness. Guys, we've got to know that. We got to know that. We got to know that it's not just natural, these things that we're struggling with. These aren't just natural arguments that keep coming around. That isn't just a natural thing that gets on your nerves. We have to understand and see that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, who have strategically set themselves against us and against our house. And we have to understand that if we're going to overcome and if we're going to win, we have to see what the devil is up to. And we've got to serve him notice that enough is enough. Enough is enough. That we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Word of God. We have the blood of Jesus. And we don't have to exist in the world that he wants to create for us any longer. But we will begin to stand and fight. Stand and fight. Stand and fight and tell every spirit of division that you've got to go. Every spirit of divorce that would come against you and your household, that it's got to go. Every spirit of strife and rebellion and bondage and addiction and sickness and disease and anger and control and manipulation and selfishness and lust and pornography. All of the spirits that have been unleashed from the pit of hell to come and to keep God's purposes from coming to pass in our life. How many of you know we have authority over them in Jesus' name? I'm not bowing to fear anymore. I'm not bowing to intimidation anymore. They're not going to rule my life. What are you not going to bow to anymore in your life? We're going to rise up in the name of Jesus. The enemy has dispatched all types of different spirits and strategies against us and our marriages and our house. Because the enemy knows this. Jesus said it like this. He said, if you strike the shepherd, if you smite the shepherd, then the sheep will be scattered. How many of you know the enemy sees the big picture? The enemy sees beyond just me. So many times we get so focused just on me and we don't see the big picture. The big picture goes beyond you. The big picture goes beyond me. It goes to me and my spouse. And me and my spouse and my house. And me and my spouse and my house and my lineage. My children and my grandchildren and those that come after me. And if the devil can take me out, how many of you know he can wreak havoc on my lineage? And that's what he wants to do. And many of us are products of a wrecked home that went before us. But how many of you know that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever? That he can save me today and he can heal me from yesterday and he can prepare me from tomorrow no matter what I've come out of. The enemy has been largely successful, unfortunately, both inside and outside of the church, with having his way in our lives, in our homes. In Joshua 1:3, the scripture tells us, every place that the sole of our foot will tread, that God will give it to us. See, it's our territory. It's a fight for territory in all of our lives. The scripture says, where our feet will go. See, the enemy wants us to back down. He wants us to back off. He wants to saddle us with all kinds of trash. He wants to put us in all kinds of bondage so that we don't tread where God has called us to tread. But God said that if we'll put our sole of our foot down right there, that God will give it to us. God is looking for people who will fight to establish and to extend his territory, his reign, his dominion, his will, his purpose in their home and in their relationships. In the book of Ezekiel, it says that God's looking for a person among us who would make a wall, who would stand in the gap before him on behalf of the land. On behalf of the land. The enemy would like to start to get you to thinking about all the things that aren't right and all the other people in your house that aren't standing and all that. How many of you know that if you're in a relationship with somebody else, that relationship can get 50% better immediately? Because I'm half of it. How many of you know I can't control anything out here, but I can control what's going on in here? I can control what's going on in here. I can control what's coming into here, and I can control what's coming out of here. And God's saying he's looking for someone who will rise up and say, you know what? Enough is enough in my house. This house belongs to Jesus. How many of you agree with that this morning? Say, my marriage belongs to Jesus. My children belong to Jesus. My grandchildren belong to Jesus. My nieces and my nephews belong to Jesus. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. See, our enemy would be happy if we would just remain ignorant of his devices. Or if we would remain lazy are disinterested, are afraid, are disengaged, or even self-absorbed. Because then the will of God would not have someone contending and fighting to make sure that it was established in our home and in our lineage. Remember Nehemiah, as he began to rebuild the wall, what happened? The enemy didn't show up until he decided he was going to rebuild the wall. And as he began to rebuild the wall around the territory of his life and his family, the scripture says in Nehemiah 4:11, the enemy said, before they even know what's happening, we're going to swoop in on them and we're going to kill them and they're going to end, and we're going to end their work. Do you know what's happening in your house? Do you know what's happening in your marriage? Do you know that you have an enemy? And it's the plan of the enemy to come in and to stop the will and purposes of God. There will always be battle. There will always be opposition. There will always be warfare. But the Lord says it's a winnable battle. That it's a winnable battle. We're not discouraged by the battle. This morning we should be encouraged. Because we know, if we know what we're fighting, then we know that we can win. If we know that we're fighting forces of darkness, then we know, according to Colossians, that Jesus has already stripped them of their power and authority. And He's already made an open show of them. And He's already taken back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And He's put them within our hands. And He said if we would take what He's given us and the authority that He's given us, that we could smile today, because this is a winnable battle. This is a winnable battle. But it takes effort. And it takes endurance. And it takes faith. And it takes standing. But if we will do those things, how many of you know this ship will turn? This ship will turn. This ship will turn. Depression doesn't win. Fear doesn't win. Divorce doesn't win. Rebellion doesn't win. Addiction doesn't win. These are all winnable battles in Jesus' name. So I'm not depressed about the fact that I'm in a fight for my family. I'm excited about the fact that I can do something about it. With God on my side, I don't like to say that. When I'm on God's side, how many of you know we're on His side? When we're on His side, who or what can be against us that will prevail? He will prevail. He will prevail. He will be victorious. So what Nehemiah did when he recognized that the enemy had come to stop what God wanted to do in their lives and in their situation, the scripture says this in Nehemiah 4:13. It says, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families. I set the people according to their family. How many of you know there's power in family? How many of you know the family has been anointed and it's been raised up by God to exact His judgment on the enemy? It says Nehemiah positioned them according to their families, with their swords and with their spears and with their bows, not with their remotes and their pizza and all these other things. How many of you know that if we're going to fight to win, we're going to have to lay some things down and we're going to have to pick up some other things? We're going to have to take our fingers off of some things and we're going to have to put them on some other things. Our hands going to have to cleave to the sword of the Spirit. Our knees are going to have to find their way to the floor. And we're going to have to take what God has given us to fight with. 4:14 it says, and I looked and rose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. How many like that trade-off? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when you look at that child, or you wonder where that child is at in the late in the evening, and the enemy wants you to take fear. You don't take fear, you take courage, because God has not given you a spirit of fear. How many of you know it's a spirit of fear? And we reject it and we resist it in the name of Jesus. But we take power and we take love and we take a sound mind in and through Jesus Christ. He said, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. And wives, fight for your husbands. And fight for your house. If we didn't have to fight, He wouldn't have put it in the book. Exactly right. We can fight and we can win. He expects us to fight and He expects us to win. We're on the winning side. When we fight with God, when we fight with His weapons, when we fight in His authority, when we fight against the real enemy of our soul, we win. if we fight. It's just it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. God says it's a winnable battle. Some of you are about ready to lay down your sword today, and God's telling you, pick it up. It's a winnable battle. What He told you yesterday still stands true today. Circumstances out here may not look like they've changed, but you got to know this thing's being won in the spirit realm. The angel told Daniel, from the first day you stood, God was on the way. But there was a fight. But how many of you know it's worth the fight? It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight for us to have heaven on earth. To have His will become the reality in my marriage. For His kingdom to be the reality in my home and in my sphere. How many of you know it's worth the fight? If I got to swing the sword till the day I go in the casket so that those that come after me can be free. How many of you know it's worth the fight? It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. Ephesians 6, Paul tells us our battle is not with people. It's not flesh and blood. And as long as the enemy can keep our eyes on people, then we'll lose. But if we keep our eyes on what God says we keep our eyes on, and we understand that we're battling the forces of darkness, then we know that we can overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. I would say this, Satan hates marriage. Remember, this is a no condemnation message. Wherever I'm at in my journey with Jesus, there is grace and there is redemption and there is restoration. How many of you are thankful for it? There are no 100% completely whole people in this place. All of us are broken in some way. You just ain't got close enough to see our brokenness if you can't see the brokenness. We're all coming out and we're all coming over in Jesus' name. But Satan hates marriage. How many of you know that Satan didn't even show up in the Bible until marriage showed up? We like to say that Genesis 3 was the fall of man, but Genesis 3 wasn't really the fall of man, it was the fall of marriage. Because in Genesis chapter 2, God created man, and man, his name was Adam, and he was around for a while, and he was doing things, and God gave him a job to do, and that was name all the animals. And how many of you know it probably took him a while to name all the animals, because there's a lot of them. And he was busy doing what God had called him to do. And the scripture says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 20 that Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and this is now flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Think about this. Everything else that God created, he spoke and it was created. But he said this. He said, let us make man in our image. And he took the dust of the ground and he breathed himself into man. Man was taken out of God. And then the woman was taken out of the man. And then the family was taken out of the marriage. How many of you know Satan hates marriage and he hates family because it's out of God's heart? And in verse 24, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And in that moment, God created the institution of what we call marriage. And just two verses later, in the first verse of chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, it says this. Now, everybody say now, the serpent shows up. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman. Immediately after God established marriage, the enemy came to try to destroy it. And we have to understand that the enemy hates marriage and he hates family. And he's from the very beginning and he will not quit till the end trying to destroy that which God has established. Why does he do that? Because he knows the power and the purpose that God deposited within it. Listen, marriage wasn't just a good idea. It was a God idea. And God had purpose when he created it. I'm going to give you four reasons if you're taking notes. Why am I engaged in such a battle? And why is my home under such attack? And why is this so hard? And why is it so difficult? It's a winnable battle. But why? Because the enemy wants to oppose the purposes and the plans of God for your home. I heard Jimmy Evans give these four things. Tremendous marriage teacher. And I'm going to repeat them to you. And that's this. There's four divine purposes. Four divine purposes that God has for marriage and family. Number one, God created marriage to replicate His image on the earth. God created marriage to replicate His image on the earth. Elohim, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When God created marriage, marriage was to be His image upon the earth. Marriage was never intended to be between just a man and a woman. It was created to be a three-part relationship between man, woman, and God. And it would be the image of God on the earth. And the devil wants to divide it, to stamp it out, to hamstring it, to destroy it because he hates God and he doesn't want God's image on the earth. Another reason why God created marriage was because it's a prophetic picture of the eternal relationship between Jesus and his bride. Marriage is the prophetic picture. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And the scripture says, a man will leave his father and mother. The two will be joined together. And it says, this is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. How many of you are looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb? How many of you are a part of the bride of Christ? The enemy fights marriage because he hates the fact that one day Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot and blemish. He's coming back for his bride that he loves. And marriage is a prophetic picture of the relationship between Jesus and his bride. The second reason why God created marriage was to extend his kingdom authority on the earth. The scripture says that in the book of Genesis that God told Adam and Eve, he told them to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. How many of you know that God placed an anointing upon marriages and upon homes to subdue and have dominion in the earth? And that's never changed. Now, Adam and Eve, they gave away their authority. But how many of you know Jesus came and took the authority back? There is an anointing on marriages and anointing upon homes to extend the kingdom of God in the earth. That's why the enemy stands in opposition to it. Number three, divine purpose for marriage. God created marriage to pass on to the next generation the nature and the values of God. Within the home, we are to display the nature and the values of God. That's why the enemy fights us so much, because he does not want us to display and to pass on to the next generation the nature and the character of God. See, within marriage, it causes us to live sacrificially. Marriage causes us to live committed lives, selfless lives, faithful lives, kind lives, loving lives, servant-hearted lives that exemplify God to the next generation. And the enemy does not want God's nature and his character passed on to the next generation. The number one job of a parent is to lead their children to an understanding of the nature, character, and values of God. That is our number one. It's not to provide a big nest egg. It's not to provide a great inheritance. It's not to get them in the best colleges. It's not to give them the best car. And all those things are fine. I wanted them all when I was a kid. But the number one job of parents and the number one job of marriages and the number one job of homes is that we might pass on to the next generation who God is and bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And number four, God created marriage to multiply His human family with righteous offspring. Out of all of this work and effort that God does with humanity, you know what He gets? He gets a relationship with us. That's what he wanted. Isn't that an amazing thing? All the trouble that God has gone to establish this earth and have to send his son and all that. He did all that so he could have a relationship with us. In Malachi 2:15 it says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body and spirit are his? And what does God want? He wants godly children from your union. He wants godly children. And so the enemy does not want God to expand his family. He does not want God to have more righteous children in the earth. And he comes to attack the family and the home because he doesn't want that to happen. See, the devil needs our marriages and our households to fail if he's going to get a win of any kind in this earth. But God needs our marriages and our homes to succeed, to fulfill his purposes and plans in the earth. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Why is it war? Because it is a war. And we're caught in the middle. And we've got to make a determination that we are going to be committed with God to win this war. In Jesus' name. Let me just say this. Anything God is going to accomplish in the earth, he's going to do it through marriage and family. You understand what I'm saying? Anything he's going to do in the earth, he's going to do it through marriage and family. He created it, he anointed it, he empowered it, and he commissioned it to do so. Look, our households are holy ground. This house, the church, is made up of our individual houses. Do you know that the strength of this house is dependent upon the strength of our own house? God's family, how many of you know it's made up of our individual families? The enemy doesn't want God's family to succeed. He doesn't want God's family to do what it's called to do. So he goes to the very root, which is our individual lives, and he tries to fight to win the battle there. But in 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy this. He said, stand up. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith because it's a winnable battle. It's a winnable battle. It's a winnable battle. Raise your hands up like this and close your eyes before the Lord and just declare over your life, it's a winnable battle. It's a winnable battle. It's a winnable battle. I am not discouraged by the fight. I am encouraged by the truth that it's a winnable battle in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Three essentials for victory in our homes. Three essentials. Now there's 100, I'm sure, but I'm going to touch on three this morning. Three essentials for victory in our homes. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus chapter 12. How many of you are thankful that we know the truth and the truth makes us free? How many of you are thankful that we don't have to walk as the blind leading the blind? The Holy Spirit can remove the scales from our eyes and we can see the truth and the truth make us free. The book of Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. I love that. A lamb for a household. Everybody say, my house must have the lamb. It hasn't changed. A lamb for a household. Verse 6, it says, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. How many of you know that this lamb, this was the institution of Passover for the children of Israel as God was about to inflict the 10th plague on the nation of Egypt, as God was bringing deliverance to his people? How many of you are ready for some deliverance in your life? This lamb was symbolic of the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And his name was Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb. A lamb for every household. A lamb for every household. The only way we're going to win is by the blood of the lamb. The only way we're going to win is in his precious name. A lamb for household. It's great. There's all kinds of things we can do the lamb directs it. But at the very core of it, at the very root of it, if we're going to overcome, if we're going to win, it's going to be the lamb in the midst of our household. It says in verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and he said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and you shall dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and you shall strike the lintel and the two doorposts, that is the frame around the door, with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood, everybody say, when he sees the blood. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. How many of you know the destroyer has been trying to come into the house for all of eternity? He made his way into the garden. He was trying to make it into the houses of the children of Israel. And he's still trying to get into our houses today. But we need the blood of the Lamb. If we're going to be victorious, the first thing we must have is we must have God's covering over our house. We must have God's covering over our house. We can try to get along, and we can try to buy the nicest gifts, and we can go to the best counselors, and we can do all that. But if the destroyer is going to be stopped from wreaking havoc in our homes, then we've got to have the covering of God over our homes. This thing has got to be spiritual. This is not a game. The devil plays for keeps. He's called the destroyer for a reason, because that's his job description. We must have the covering of the Lamb over our house. We must have the covering of the Lamb over our marriages. We must have the covering of the Lamb over our children. We must abide under the covering of God. The blood stood guard over the house. As long as the family stayed under the blood, they were guarded from the destroyer. This is not a game that we play. We come to church on Sunday and then we live like we want to the rest of the week. How many of you know that doesn't work? They said, don't come out from underneath the blood. Don't come out of the front door. You got to stay under the covering of God. How do we do that? We live the life that He's called us to live. We trust Him by faith. We believe Him. We make Him priority. We seek first the kingdom of God. We live life the way that He's called us to live it. We stay under the covering of the Lamb. A little backstory to the doorpost and lentils. The doorpost and lentil. Isn't lentil some sort of a vegetable? That's not what this is. The doorpost and the lentil. It was the top bar across the doors. Let me tell you a little backstory on this. The children of Israel had been in Egypt, been in bondage for what, some 400 years? Is that correct? And just like many of us, we are in the world and we begin to pick up some of the customs of the world. And the children of Israel had been there for a long time. Now, the Egyptians believed in an eternal afterlife. Stay with me for this. This is kind of interesting, I think. They believed in the eternal afterlife. But they believed for someone to exist eternally in the afterlife, that the five parts of a human had to continue to exist in the natural realm if they were going to continue to exist in the supernatural realm. Okay, things like this. I'm not going to tell you all of them. I'm going to tell you two of them. One of them is the physical body. That's why mummification was so important to the Egyptians. Because as long as the physical body continued to exist on the earth, they could continue to exist in the afterlife. So that's why the pharaohs, they had themselves so mummified and preserved and everything, because if their body ever ceased to exist, they would cease to exist in the afterlife. How many of you are glad that we don't follow that junk? I'll be glad to get rid of this body. Amen. Another thing that they believed had to exist, stay in existence on this earth for them to stay in existence in the afterlife, was their name. Was their name. So let me talk to you for just a second. So we know that the children of Israel made these bricks out of mud. That's what they did as slaves. And the Egyptians believed that everything that was temporal, everything that was passing away, they used mud bricks to build those things. Things like houses and all those types of things, they used mud bricks. But things that were going to be eternal, things like temples and tombs, they built them out of stone. And the pharaohs and the kings of Egypt, what they would do is you would find their name chiseled in stone everywhere, because what they were trying to do was they were trying to ensure that their name would exist on the earth for all of eternity. So you could even tear down the pyramid, but as long as their name was still etched in stone, it allowed them to exist in the eternal. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So let's go back to the Israelites. The Israelites were nomads in the beginning. They dwelt in tents. But by the time Moses got there, they had taken on some of the customs of the Egyptians. They lived in mud brick homes. And the only thing about the mud brick homes that wasn't made out of mud brick was the doorpost and the lintels. because the people, the average person couldn't afford a stone home. So what they would do is they'd make everything out of mud brick except the doorpost and the lintels, and they would make it out of stone because they would take that stone and they would chisel their name into the stone over their door. Because they wanted to make sure that if that house was gone and when they died, that their name existed somewhere. And they're still unearthing a doorpost and lintels that have people's names chiseled into them. So the Israelites did the same thing. And when God came, God was trying to help the Israelites understand some things. He was trying to help them unlearn some things that they had learned from the world. And when he told them to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels, he was saying, you got to put your blood over your name. You got to put my blood over your name. My name has to be the name above every name. It's got to be my blood and it's got to be my name in which you trust. And you've got to cover it. As long as we're covered in the blood. How many of you know that our name isn't enough? He was telling them to cover their name in the blood. The Smith family under the blood. The Jones family under the blood. The Willis family under the blood. If the destroyer was going to be kept out of their house, it would be because they were living under the blood. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation, deliverance, healing in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let's say his name together. Jesus. A lamb for a household. If we're going to overcome as marriages and families, it will be because we are living under the covering of God. Not natural might or natural strength or natural weaponry, but the covering of the blood of the Lamb. That's why the children of Israel would later sing after they crossed the Red Sea that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember not our name, not that name we chiseled on the doorpost and lintel. We're not going to remember our name, but we will remember the name of the Lamb. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. It's in Him that we have victory. His name must reign supreme in all of our homes. His name, Jesus, must be over every name in our homes. Philippians 2:9 says this, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. Listen, if we keep His name, the exalted name, in our home, then we live under the covering of the Lamb. The name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee bows. And every tongue shall confess of those on the earth and those under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Live under His covering. I'm going to give you three quick things. Number one, we must live under His lordship and His authority. If we're going to live under His covering, the way we do that is we live under His lordship. That means God is not my co-pilot. God is my pilot. I seek first the kingdom of God. I seek first His face. I say, not my will, but your will be done. You must increase and I must decrease. That doesn't mean I'm perfect all the time, but what it means is I'm submitted to Him. His lordship, His authority. How many of you know it's a covering for my life? It's a covering for my family. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God under His covering. Resist the devil. And He will flee from you. We must live under His lordship and authority. Number two, we must live under His covenant boundaries. We must live under His covenant boundaries, loving and obeying His commands for our life. Embracing and loving His commands for our life. I love the command not to play in the street once I understood what it meant for me. I love to obey the command of not to touch the bright red element on top of the stove when I understood what it meant for me. It was for my good. It was for my good. If we want to be covered by the blood of the Lamb, then we need to live within God's covenant boundaries. The scripture says if we're willing and obedient, how many of you know, we're going to eat the good of the Lamb. As long as they obeyed what God said to do, as long as they were striving to stay within the covenant boundaries that He has provided by His grace. And again, I'm not saying that every one of us are perfect. There was only one perfect one, and that was Jesus. But our heart our heart goes after pleasing Him and obeying Him and pursuing Him. If that's our heart, how many of you know if we fall off the bike, He'll pick us up and He'll fix us and He'll put us in His lap? But if we will pursue His best, as the scripture said, don't go out of the house. As long as they stayed under the covering in the house, they were protected. And then we must live in His presence and under His protection. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, will say of the Lord that He is our refuge, He is our strength. How many of you know, though 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, if we dwell under His protection, how many of you know it will not come nigh us? With long life, He will satisfy me and my spouse and my children and my grandchildren. With long life, He'll satisfy us and show us His salvation. If we're going to be victorious, we have to live under the covering of the Lamb. Revelation 12 says that we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Aren't you thankful that it's not dependent upon me, it's dependent on Jesus? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and we are safe. Hallelujah. Number two, not only must we have God's covering over our house, number two, we have to have God's empowerment in our house. God's empowerment in our house. Not only did they apply the Lamb's blood to the exterior of the house, the scripture said, take the Lamb inside the house. Exodus 12:8 says, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. They put the blood of the Lamb on the exterior of the house, then God instructed them to take the Lamb inside the house. To win the fight for our families, for us to be victorious, not only must we know and operate with our lives in Christ, but we have to know and operate and understand that we have Christ in us. We have to have the Lamb working in us. Yes, we need His covering over us and ours, but we also need His power and His authority operating in and through our lives. So if the enemy does decide, even though he's going to come to the door and he's going to knock, we have to know some things. We have to know our authority. We have to know our power. We have to know our legal boundaries. We have to know that greater is He that is in us than he that would come knocking on our door. See, the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. How many of you know there was no greater obstacle to overcome than Christ being raised from the dead? Because He went to the pits of hell and faced Satan and all of his cohorts all at the same time. And the same Holy Spirit that raised Him from the dead. Everybody say, He dwells in me. I got the Lamb on the inside. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. I have the same power and I have the same authority and I have the same legal right that Jesus had while He was on the earth because He put it in my hands. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Brother Jerry told us that this is what it meant last week. Whatever you allow, I'll allow. And whatever you disallow, I'll disallow. How many of you know we got to take the power that God's put in us and we got to disallow some things in our life? When the enemy tries to come and say, I'm going to do this to your marriage and I'm going to do this to your kids, you say, oh, no, you don't either. Because I'm not going to allow it in Jesus' name. We have power. We have authority dwelling on the inside of us. I'm not allowing division. I'm not allowing strife. I'm not allowing discouragement. I'm not allowing depression. I'm not allowing fear. I'm not allowing anger or rebellion or death in my house. We are empowered to overcome. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, he said this, that we've got to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power. It's His power in us. It's His Spirit in us. But how many of you know it's in us? And He expects us to use it to overcome. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and He seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Everybody say, far above. How many are glad that His power is far above? See, I don't believe God just wants us to just get by, just scrape by, just make it out of the round. You ever seen a boxing match where he stumbles back? The bell rings. Thank goodness it's saved by the bell. And he makes it back to the corner and he looks like he's been beat by every club in the county. How many of you know? I've been praying this year that God's going to execute vengeance on my enemies. The scripture says he's coming to destroy those who would stand against me. I'm not just going to scrape by. The enemy is going to be defeated in Jesus' name. Because his name is the name that's above, far above every name. Far above every name. Far above all principality. Far above every power and might and dominion and name that is named, not only in this age, the previous age and the age to come, whatever you want to name, wherever you want to bring it from, his name is far above those names. And the scripture says he's put all things under his feet. That's the spirit that lives in us. No, we're not defeated. It's a winnable battle. It's a winnable battle. We have nothing to fear when we abide under his covering and we're empowered by his spirit. Our families can fight the fight to win. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You guys come on up. We're fixing to close right here. And then lastly, number three. We've talked about having a covering over our house, and we talked about having his empowerment in our house. And number three, we have to have God's foundation under our house. We have to have God's foundation under our house. How many of you know his word is our foundation? His word is our foundation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, whoever hears these words, everybody say words. Everybody focus in right here. The enemy wants to steal into this sermon. God wants to do some things here today. There's an anointing here today to break some yokes. There's an anointing here to set some things in order in your life. The scripture said, Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, it will be like he took his household and he built it on the rock. And so when the battle came, and when the storm came, and when the waves came, and the winds raged, that house stood firm. Because it's a winnable battle if we build on the Word. The Scripture says heaven and earth are going to one day pass away, but His Word will stand forever. This is our foundation. This has to be under our house. This has to be that upon which we stand. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. If we're going to overcome, if we're going to win, we got to make this our daily bread. Not a daily obligation, not a daily devotion. We got to make this our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I love your word. It is my life. It is my foundation. Thank you for giving this to me because it is the sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. The Scripture says that if we will delight in this right here, we'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. That we will bring forth our fruit in our season. That our leaf will not wither and whatever we do, it's going to prosper. How many of you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe your family is going to prosper? Do you believe your marriage is not going to wither up and dry and wither up and dry up and pass away? But the scripture says if we'll make this our foundation, if we will read it, if we will meditate it, if we will believe it, if we will speak it, if we will live it, that it will change our life. We have to have His Word as our foundation. The scripture says that everything in our world is held up and together by His Word. It's held up and together by His Word. Many times in my life, I've been running around trying to keep it all together myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I try to make this one happy, and I try to do this, and I try to do that, and I go by this and this. And how many of you know it can just crumble just like that? But if we make this our foundation, everything gets held up and together by the very Word of His power. You know what His Word says over our households? It's a winnable battle. This is what the Word says over our household. In Psalms 128, it says this. How happy are those who fear the Lord. Everybody put a smile on your face. It's a winnable battle. How happy are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Say, I'm fixing to enjoy some things in my family. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How happy you will be. How rich your life. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Flourishing within your home. And look at all those children. They sit around your table as vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. That is the Lord's reward for those who fear Him. How many of you know we got to stand on this word? We got to stand on this word. Everybody stand to your feet if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Fighting for our families. Fighting for our families. Fighting for the will of God. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands before the Lord this morning. Receive the grace of God into your life. Receive the grace of God into your life. Receive a revelation into your heart, into your spirit today, that God says that He's with you. And when He's with you, who or what can be against you? That this thing will turn. This mountain will move. This stronghold will come down in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're not of those who back up. We're those who go forward. We're those who build the wall. We're those who overcome. We're those who encourage ourselves in the Lord. We're those who stand up. We are those who are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We are those who have great hope and great faith that what God said He will do, we know He will do it in Jesus' name. Take courage. Take courage. Take courage in the Lord. Take courage. Reject fear. Reject intimidation. Reject every word of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Declare out of your mouth, say, we're in it to win it. We're in it to win it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're in it to win it. I don't care what it looks like, we're in it to win it. I care what Jesus says, and He says that we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Father, I thank You this morning for Your anointing here to break the yoke, God. We thank You here that You expose every work of darkness, God. God, we thank You that His cover is blown. We thank You that the enemy's cover is blown in the name of Jesus, that he is exposed and he's already been defeated. And God, You've put Your keys within our hand, God. And God, we take back the authority in our homes and in our marriages and in our children's lives. And we declare that greater is He that is in us than he that would try to come against us and destroy us. And that the enemies that would come against us today, that we will see them no more forever in Jesus' name.